Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have Bible questions or issues you're dealing with, we'd love to talk it through with you right now. So give us a call. 844-322-2742 is the number. And if you're hearing the live program, you can speak directly with us right now. And if you're hearing the Basic Gospel program overnight, just call that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail with your question or issue, and we'll be glad to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. So whenever you're hearing this program, call now, because this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Happy Wednesday to you, as they say. It's hump day, isn't it?
It is, that's
and,
right.
Boy, time sure seems to be moving fast this year. It's hard to believe we're already at April 15th. It used to be known as Tax Day, and I guess that's been extended. But have many things to be grateful for, many things to be thankful for. And in light of what we just celebrated a couple of weekends ago, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we really have a lot to be thankful for, because that event 2,000 years ago is relevant to us today, and God has made it so. God has made it relevant to us. He brought that historical event into our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have the opportunity to experience the power of the resurrection. And that moment we were saved, we actually did, because God raised us up to walk in the newness of life. And we were stuck in an old way of life. We were following the ways of this world. We were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. And even if we wanted to break out of that, we had no power to do so.
Right.
We were stuck. We were just feet in concrete and could not move away from that. So we needed something more powerful than sin and death to break us free. And that's exactly what the resurrection of Jesus Christ accomplished for you and me. Paul put it this way in Romans 6, and this is such a powerful passage. I just love this passage, and just go back to it almost daily for some reason, some question, some research, some article I'm writing, whatever it might be. It seemed to go back to Romans 6 time and time and time again, because it really lays out the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and raised back to life, and then it adds us to that story.
Yeah.
It shows how we become a part of that story. So starting in verse 3, Paul says this, "Do you not know?" So this is stuff that we ought to know as believers.
Right.
This is stuff that every Christian should know, and that's what he says. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So the moment we believe, we were placed into Jesus. We were placed into Christ. So we came into this world born into Adam.
Yeah.
So we were an heir of Adam, and he didn't leave us very good stuff. He left us a really rotten identity, sinner, and he left us a really rotten spiritual condition, dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we inherited from Adam, and that came down all the way through every single generation until it hit us. Well, then we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We are born again into the family of God. So we're now in Christ. So we've been placed into Christ. So what does that mean? That we were baptized into his death. His death has now become our death. His death for our sins has paid the punishment. So we're set free. That's good news.
It is.
So we've been baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago, so that you, right now, here in 2021, 2,000 years later, could walk in the newness of life. No longer bound by sin and death, no longer controlled by the desires of this flesh, no longer conformed to the patterns of this world, but released, set free, liberated, actually raised up, lifted above that world system, so that you can experience a heavenly way of living, new life in Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to take some time for our minds and our attitudes and everything to catch up to what Christ has done in us in Jesus Christ. Yeah. But that's part of the growing in grace process, the growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus process. So as we grow, we get more familiar with this new way of life, and we see that that becomes our natural way of doing things. So how does God make the resurrection relevant to us today? He raised us up so that we could experience a brand new life by grace through faith in Jesus.
And that's a good thing. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. And that's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And just kind of wondering if you've ever had doubts about the truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, if you have, we invite you to explore the evidence that will solidify your belief and deepen your resolve to share this truth, his story, with the world. Proof the Resurrection is the name of a CD by Bob Christopher, and it will provide truth for you. And we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in the month of April. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Proof the Resurrection. That's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines right now and talk to Jeff, listening to us somewhere in the vast big state of Texas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for having my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind today?
I was thinking about something this morning, listening to a sermon about how Jesus is constantly interceding on our behalf with God. And it crossed my mind, and I'm just wondering, why is there a need for Jesus to constantly be interceding for us and praying for our benefit if God already desires the best for us and wants us to have the best? Why is there a need for Jesus to intercede to tell God that to do, you know, to bless us?
Jeff, that's a great question, and, you know, I've thought about that quite a bit myself, and we live in a world that is under the control of the prince of the power of the air, as Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2. We live in a world where we're constantly confronted with worldly passions and desires. We live in a body where those old fleshly desires reside. It's not who we are. That's not our identity, but those fleshly desires are still there. So we are constantly being bombarded by these temptations. And then when we succumb to those temptations, or when we even think about those temptations, then we start to experience guilt and fear. We hear that accusing voice inside, and that's what the enemy does. He constantly accuses us, and sometimes we fall into that stinking thinking, so to speak, and we start feeling guilty, and we start to doubt, we start to wonder. And that's where Jesus's intercession on our behalf comes into play. Now, he's not interceding to God the Father. I mean, the blood is there. God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. It is truth that can get our minds back to thinking the right stuff and recognize that whatever case the accuser is bringing against us, it cannot hold water, because the blood of Jesus is an eternal sacrifice. It is an eternal offering that is always there, saying to us, you are forgiven. You have been made right in God's sight. You have been made holy and blameless in God's sight. So he becomes our advocate, so to speak. He speaks on our behalf. He encourages us. He builds us up by the very grace of God. So I see his.
So he's not necessarily saying to God, don't punish them because we're already saved. He's saying something.
Yeah, no.
Remind them, help them.
Right, right. God, better. I mean, God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. And God so loved you and me that he sent Jesus on our behalf. God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, we were he died on the cross. So we see time and time again that it was God's love that compelled him to send Jesus. So this gospel message is rooted in love, grounded in love, compelled by love. It's love, 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 love. Hmm. And so when Jesus carried out the will of the Father on your behalf, on my behalf, God was satisfied with that sacrifice once and for all. So it says in this new covenant that God remembers our sins no more. So if the accuser is going to make a case, you know, did you see that person? Well, the blood of Jesus is there as that eternal sacrifice. And God would just say to the accuser, listen, dude, you don't have anything to say. There's no case for you to be made here against that person. I don't accuse them. I don't condemn them. And, you know, if I don't, then nobody else can. Does that make sense?
That is. Clear. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thanks for your call. Great question.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you have a question, we'd love for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. You can call in directly right now if you're hearing the live program at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And Bob, this call came in overnight, so let's listen.
Hi, this is Raquel, and I am attending a Bible study. And there's this woman in the Bible study that's always sharing stuff from the 16th century, the Puritans movement, especially from a book called The Valley of Vision, Collection of the Puritan Prayers and Devotions, edited by author Bennett. And then she's always bringing up the Calvert movement, but majority of the time they never quote the Bible. I try to talk to the head leader about it. I just have a feeling that it doesn't sound right. Something's off or something's wrong with that belief or that foundation. Thank you.
Well, Raquel, thank you so much for that question. And Puritanism was a movement back in the 1500s, 1600s, and it was based on a belief that the Reformation wasn't complete in Europe, that more needed to be done. And so many of those got on ships and came to America. And, you know, most of those early settlers were Christian Puritans. And they had some strong stances on morality and sexual immorality and piety. And they felt that was the way that we should conduct ourselves in this world. They were very vocal in their prayers, you know, strong leadership back in the early formation of the United States of America. And their theology was basically Calvinistic, a reformed theology. And so that movement, although it never became a denomination or anything like that, that movement and some of the ideas and beliefs and understandings of the Bible have carried on even into today. There are ministries that certainly promote that book and send that out as thank you gifts and that sort of thing as a way to help people grow. But I think you're onto something, Raquel, when you hear people constantly talk about this person or that person and what this person says and what that person believes or the prayer of this person without ever going into the Word of God or quoting Scripture, I think that's a red flag, and I think that's a warning. So it's good that you're sensing that. Now, you know, we can read biographies of Christians from the past. We can read all kinds of stories about what they went through, and those that can be an encouragement to us in our journey with the Lord today. But we have to recognize that that's what that is. It is just a life that was lived back then, that a person had some beliefs, and we can read about that, and we can be encouraged. But our real encouragement, our real source of life, our real foundation is in Christ Jesus. He's the object of our faith, and it's His Word that holds authority over our lives. So we, again, Raquel, need to take everything that we hear, everything that we read, and we need to judge that, judge what we hear, judge what we read by the Word of God. We don't take what people say and use what they say to judge or interpret the Word of God. We do just the opposite. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the authority. And the fact that you're not hearing the Word of God raises some questions. And Raquel, what I think I would encourage you to do is just to take those concerns. When I hear people talking about this Puritan movement, I hear very little of the Word of God being talked about in those conversations, and that concerns me. And I think that will open the door to have a good conversation there. The other point I want to make, Calvinism has been around for 500 years or so, and there's a real resurgence of that Reformed theology going on in the world today. There are great things about that theology. It certainly focuses on Christ. It focuses on the fact that you and I were dead in sin, that we needed life, and only the grace of God could bring that to us. But it has some other doctrines that can be confusing. So I think, again, you need to let the Word of God bring some discernment, some judgment, and clarity on those particular belief systems.
Absolutely. Yeah, Raquel, so. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out. We hope that's a help to you, and keep listening and give us a call again if we can be of help to you. And friends, if Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, if this message of God's unconditional love and grace and the Lord Jesus Christ has resonated with you, well, we encourage you, if you have not done so yet, to join with us, become a partner with us to support this message and keep it going. You know, the world's a big place, and this message really needs to get out, because many, many people have yet to hear the truth of the gospel and to tap into the saving life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want that to happen, of course, and we want you to be a part of it. So as you can, please go to basicgospel.net and make your most generous gift, and we would love to have you partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in by email, and this one is from our friend B, actually a YouTube listener and a viewer. She says, what is it when people stand up in church and proclaim a message from God, usually in an unknown language, followed by interpretation? What is that?
Well, that's the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. Paul really spells that out pretty clearly in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and chapter 14. Now, one of the things that was happening in Corinth was an abuse of the gift of tongues and an abuse of that gift of interpretation. And so Paul was trying to bring some clarity to that, to show them what that was really about. He was also concerned about the chaotic nature of their gatherings. Mm-hmm, I mean, right. It was just noise and chaos and confusion and that sort of thing. Well, God's not the author of confusion. Yeah. God is a God of order. And so he lays out the way things should go. And so confusion isn't a part of that, agenda.
No.
So Paul was writing to correct that. So many people were just standing up spontaneously, and they were going into these ecstatic utterances. Well, people were just absolutely confused about what was happening, mm-hmm, because nobody understood what they were saying. So he said, if it's the true spiritual gift of tongues, then there will be somebody there that can interpret it so that the entire group that's gathered can benefit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's unnecessary. Otherwise, it's just a source of confusion and division. Mm-hmm. So let's bring this to order. Now, if somebody speaks in tongues, it's going to be a message concerning Christ. That's the story. That's the story that God has been telling, that God is telling, and that God will always be telling. So if there's a gift of spiritual tongues that is being exercised, that is going to be used to help tell the story of Jesus, and the interpretation will reveal that. So that's what we have to understand. Everything centers on Jesus. Everything revolves around Jesus. It's not fitting Jesus into our plans. It's not coming to Jesus to say, bless what I want, bring my my goals and aspirations to life. No, it's us getting on his train,
yeah,
and going where he's going, and all the gifts that he provides the body of Christ, whether it be tongues, whether it be interpretation, whether it be teaching or mercy or the gift of giving, is all there. He's gifted the body with all these things to bring more glory and praise to Jesus Christ and to help us be a voice out there in the world today for this story.
Yeah.
People need to hear the good news of Jesus. So when we pervert the gifts and use them for our benefit or what we think they're supposed to be, then we're sending a really unclear message out into the world. They're going to look at us and think, wow, what are they all about?
Yeah.
But when they hear with clarity the good news about Jesus, they may reject it, but they absolutely know what we stand for.
Indeed. B, thank you for reaching out with your question, and I hope that's a help to you. We had this question from Tommy. The name is spelled T-O-M-I, so I'm assuming it's a lady. She says, when I was in prison, I read the Bible and found a lot of strange events in there. But one of the strangest I found, besides the talking beside the talking donkey, is in Genesis 30, starting with verse 32, where Jacob peels branches in the water to make speckled and spotted goats. Do you think that this was something supernatural from above, or do you think this is something about the power of imagination? I've been thinking that maybe when we pray, we should be seeing in our mind what we're praying for. Perhaps seeing it in our imagination gives us more faith. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about seeing it in our imagination. I mean, we can imagine a lot of things,
yes,
that are not gonna fit with God's plan. And I think it's important for us to understand God had appeared to Abraham, and he had said to Abraham, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. He passed that same blessing on to Isaac, the son of promise, and then he passed that same blessing on to Jacob.
Yeah.
Well, this is just part of that story of how God kind of raises up Jacob to that status to be the carrier of this promise to the next generation.
Yeah.
And the story of how he married his wife, and then the one that he really loved, and how Laban fit into all of that is a part of that story. And so here we just see God blessing Jacob and giving him his own herd of his own flock of sheep and,
yeah,
that sort of thing. And
right,
this is just how he was able to do it. So I think there's some miraculous and supernatural things going on in this for God to put his stamp of approval on Jacob to be the one to carry on the promise.
Tommy, good to hear from you. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, thank you for being with us today. Please remember that we have a great resource we'd like to send you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to support Basic Gospel, to keep this message of the resurrection going forward. And your gift is a great way to say thanks for what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's called Proof, the Resurrection. And we'll send you a copy when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.